الله أكبر الله
What else was that, Haji?
That's what I like to see, bullseyes every time, and you can do the same thing with Beyer Barrels. As long as you do your part, the custom barrels that you get from Beyer Barrels will deliver award-winning accuracy shot after shot. Beyer Barrels specializes in standard and 1-in-9-inch twist match-grade 22 long rifle barrels for the Ruger 10-22 and AR-15. If you want to win, visit their site at BeyerBarrels.com. That's B-E-Y-E-R Barrels.com. Or you can call Clint at 360-374-9476 and tell him you heard it on the Shooting Bench, would you? Let him know that his advertising money is doing him some good.
Ideals I think are right, and I can stand beside the idea to stand and fight. I do believe there's a dream for everyone. This is our country. There's room enough here for science to live, and there's room enough here for religion to forgive and try to understand all the people of this land. This is our country. From the East Coast to the West Coast, down the Dixie Highway, back home. This is our country. Seen only as obscene, and the ones who run this land help the poor and common man. This is our country.
Welcome to the Shooting Bench. For the next hour, I'll be bringing you commentary and important updates on current events, as well as information on guns, training, preparedness, and other liberty-related issues. Let's get started. RAT, right now. All right, just got to find the right button there. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It is the last day of January. It's a Wednesday. And we haven't got nearly as many things as I'd hoped to talk about tonight, but we got enough, I think. And this is our third show on satellite internet. And I think everything is going to be all right. It's really been fast and keeping up well, and I think it's going to be a winner here. I hope so, because I was took everything from Frontier and put it in the sack and took it down there and threw it on the desk and said, there you go, cancel my account, I'm done. I'll pay the bill as I can, whenever it's. Okay. Something's going on here. What is going on?
Right.
Okay, can you hear me now? I'm going to go ahead on there. Everybody says they can hear me, and that's strange because on my end it says unable to send data over the network. It says it's archiving the archive, saving the show, but it says I'm not putting anything out. But if you guys can hear me, that's fine. And M Block, you're right. Tomorrow's the last day of January. I forgot about that. I'm all Twitter pated now. WMD, Doc, I don't know what, let me turn this thing off here. What kind of problems have you had? I have, I've been well pleased, but like I said, it's only been not even a week yet, so it'll be a week Friday. So we'll see. All right, let's move on here. We're getting new messages coming in all the time. I'm trying to keep up with them here. All right. Let's go to, we've already done that one, in that one. Am I on the wrong page here? Great. It just keeps getting worse. There we go. All right. You know, last week sometime, or maybe it was Monday, I don't remember, we talked about a sheriff in Franklin County, Washington, that said, we will not comply. We are not going to enforce this stupid Initiative 1639. And we've got a letter directly from that office that says, has instructed in no uncertain terms that it told his deputies that you will not enforce this initiative, which I thought was more than just a little bit awesome. Now we're finding out that Yakima County is doing the same thing. And I'm hoping that there'll be more to follow. I don't know what the status is there. Maybe Yakima Glock can fill us in on maybe some of the others that's going on around there. But this I-1639 got several problems. It forbids gun shops to sell semi-automatic rifles to anyone under 21. Now, of course, the sheriff's department can't do anything about that. That's strictly the gun shops. But remember, we had one gun shop
last week that said they wouldn't, and then the next day had another one followed right behind them and said they wouldn't. And they are within their rights up until a certain date. I'm not sure what that date is, but says I-1639 would also subject potential gun owners to background checks, which would look into their mental health history. These checks would fall. I understand their concern for this, but, you know, there's a point there somewhere where, you know, it's just way too intrusive. I do understand their concern. I see, I don't see that it would be, that it would help anything. You know, some of the greatest mass shootings have been by people that have passed every background check and every possible health check and everything that they could and still went off the deep end somewhere. So, you know, the only solution to this is people being able to protect themselves. No matter how much you check, that there's nothing in any kind of a check that says, you know, around 3 months from this date, this person's going to go bat crap crazy one day and just start shooting people. So no, don't sell him a gun, because we see that happening. It happens. You know, it's not, and you could look at their side and say, well, if we got rid of all guns, then we wouldn't have to worry about it. But we've talked about this before. That is impossible. Absolutely impossible. There's always people like me and Doc and Edge of the Woods and NM Glock and some of the rest of you out there that can take a very minimal amount of material out of the garage and make a functional, effective gun. Shotgun, 22, 38. Not hard at all. Very, very simple, very cheap. Very safe if you do it right. Are they semi-automatic, highly accurate, effective weapons? No. Effective, yes. But highly accurate and semi-automatic? No, that most of them are not even repeaters of any kind. So it'll never fly to get rid of all of them as they've said they wanted to do, and I'd be the first to admit, if they could do that, their problems would be solved, except for the fact that there's knives and sledgehammers and 5 gallon buckets and ladders and beer bottles and rocks, sticks, stones. You know, there's just so many different ways that it's never going to, you know, the only option we have is to be able to protect ourselves. And, I don't know, preaching to the choir, I know, just tell me you shut up, I understand. And a little bit of good news coming out of New York, which is surprising. It's the last place I'd expect good news to happen as far as guns go. But it looks like all gun charges have been dropped against a New York guy there that I guess they got stopped. And this is something I've told you many times. Don't jerk out your concealed carry permit and show it to the cop just because you think you're cool. It doesn't help. Their demeanor will change immediately. Not all of them. You know, most of the sheriffs around here say, okay, great, so what? Everybody else got one too. Big deal. But you can go to states like New York or California or those places, and when you do that, you are automatically putting them defensive, I guess it is. So in New York, this guy got stopped and showed them his Colorado concealed carry permit. Obviously, I don't know about obviously, but somebody along the line has told him, this is a good thing. When you get stopped, always tell the cop that you have a gun and that you have a concealed weapons permit, because, you know, that's just a very good thing to do. Professional courtesy, they call it. It is not professional courtesy. you're not a cop. It's professional courtesy when you have two people working in the same field or something similar, and you let them know things like this. It's not professional courtesy when you are not even employed by any type of law enforcement agency. All it does is have them view you with suspicion. Now, state cops are most likely the worst. City cops in places like Albuquerque's pretty rough as far as city cops go. Even the county guys in Albuquerque are not as bad as some of the rest of them. But you never know. You never know, you know, where you're at. So I say do not show them your concealed carry permit. This guy had a Colorado concealed carry permit in New York, and they figured that was justification enough to search his car and everything, and they had 9 charges against him, including Class C violent felonies. How can you be a violent felony if you haven't hurt anybody? A violent felony, criminal possession of a weapon in the second degree, is a violent felony. Criminal possession of a weapon in the third degree, 3 counts of that, 2 counts of the last one, is a violent felony. And criminal possession of a weapon in the fourth degree, 4 counts of that. So he was obviously moving or doing something that had his whole collection. So anyway, our good buddy the judge here looked at all this and said, you know what? The Colorado concealed carry permit is not justification to search his vehicle. And they threw out every single charge. And I thought that was awesome. You need to know your rights. You need to know what to say and what to do when you're stopped. And the most important thing when you're stopped is, you know, tell them that you claim all of your rights all the time, and you waive none of your rights at any time. And that's all they need to know. You can show them your driver's license, show them insurance, and, you know, whatever if you do, so you can get on the road. But if they're not going to, I guess because he showed them the concealed carry permit, they didn't need his consent and they didn't need a warrant. They figured that was probable cause. And wound up getting him thrown in jail and messed up his whole life. Of course, he got out of it, but I'll guarantee you he didn't do it for free. People may show their concealed carry permit and show the cops are not a felon. I'm not required to do that. I don't care if the cop thinks or knows I'm a felon or not. It doesn't make any difference. It's none of his business. If I haven't done anything if I haven't committed any type of a crime, it's none of his business whether I'm a felon or not. So what? Maybe I'm a felon. If I haven't broken the law again, it doesn't matter. Excuse me. I didn't mean to do that in your ear there. Let's see. Let me move up the chat room here and see what all is going on. Yeah, WMD Doc, I wish there were more constitutional sheriffs like that. You know, Sheriff Mack here in Arizona, his big claim to be a constitutional sheriff. He, at best, he's a libertarian sheriff. I mean, maybe. He's not a constitutional sheriff. He's got this constitutional sheriff's, whatever it is, of Arizona or whatever. I can't even remember the name of it now, CSPOA, Constitutional Sheriff and Police Officers Association or something like that. I don't know. And if you'll remember, I think I told you about this back when we had the election where Harbold was running for sheriff. Truly a constitutional sheriff. Absolutely. He's one of those that doesn't believe in giving tickets for seatbelts and doesn't believe in stopping people just to be stopping them and things like that. So he and his compadre who was going to run as his chief deputy or whatever it was there is just like him. And that would have been a marvelous, tremendous boost to Navajo County there. Been absolutely wonderful. And they had this little blonde bimbo out there that claimed to be a constitution. And when she was asked during a meeting that Amy went to about something to do with reading the Constitution or a certain amendment or something, she said she hadn't read it. So you're a constitutional sheriff. You say you're going to be a constitutional sheriff. So this is going to happen after you get elected? Is that what I'm understanding here? You're going to be a constitutional sheriff afterwards. But right now you have no idea because you haven't read the Constitution. So Sheriff Mack got behind her, and I think the idea was that in the beginning he had the just kind of going through the motions of helping her and supporting her, endorsing her. And then a short time afterwards, he said he was running for undersheriff with her. And that ticked me off. And we found so much against her. Things that were, well, I say we, I didn't, but I saw a lot of it. Where people were, where she was, I won't get into the details of it. And yes, I know what they are. But anyway, we got into that, and Sheriff Mack called me one day and said, you know, well, the most important thing is to get the incumbent out and get a Republican in there. And I said, okay, I get that. But we have investigated, we've researched her, and she's not the one for that. He says, why are you researching her? And I was floored. I had to pick my jaw up off the floor and wind it back up and put it up where it goes. I couldn't believe he said that. Why would we not research the fact that she's Republican, supposedly, because she's got an R behind her name, doesn't automatically give her a pass. There was a lot of things that were inappropriate concerning her. And ultimately, because of that, because of Sheriff Mack's involvement in this, Graham Harbaugh lost the election. And the incumbent stayed in. The Democrat's still there. And that was not anything that anybody wanted to see. So anyway, I don't know how we got off on that, but it's one of those things, I guess. All right, let me see here. Let me swap some stuff around just a little bit. And there we go. All right, let's see what else we got here. Let me look back, go back over here to Intel headquarters here. All right. We might talk about this one after the break, but here, just real quick before here. You know, I'm seeing a lot of stories come out, and these are big enough that they're making mainstream media. We're seeing them, you know, virtually every day, where a concealed carry holder or a private citizen or whatever has thwarted a home invasion or stopped an armed robbery or something like that, and getting the goods on the bad guy and surviving, and these are just wonderful stories with happy endings. And I don't know what I know that the left has got to, speaking of the left, let me get off of that for just a minute. This new assault weapons ban, what is it? Let me find the deal here. It'll be right, RAT, right with you. It is getting closer. HR 252 or something like that. Can't find it. I bet WMD now. Here it is. Yeah, 282. 116th Congress, HB 282. Okay. This is, I think we touched on this briefly a little while back. Didn't say nearly enough about it. But if you look at this, you go down through the list here. This is the Assault Weapons Bill of 1994 on steroids. They have not just banned certain guns. Well, they haven't banned anything yet because it hadn't passed. But if it does, it's going to be a very bad thing. Stuff's starting to aggravate me now. They not only banned a bunch of these by description, as they did before. What happened with that, as we all know, some very clever, ingenious people come up with ways to get around some of these things, like the thumb hole stock, the bullet button thing in California for the magazine release. Collapsible stocks that were pinned and not collapsible anymore, but still had they still looked like it. They still had the cool factor. And most of them were pretty easily unpinned and turned into collapsible stocks again. But they've gone now so far as to name hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of guns. They have banned by name, not by description, so there is going to be no way around it. And, of course, the same old thing, pistol grip and forward grip and folding, telescoping or detachable stock, grenade launcher, rocket launcher. You know, I'm going to be very disappointed if they ban my rocket launcher. I was really hoping to be able to hold on to that. Barrel shrouds, threaded barrel. Semi-automatic rifle that has a fixed magazine capacity to accept more than 10 rounds, except for an attached tubular device designed to accept and capable of operating only with 22 caliber rimfire ammunition. So that's gonna keep 22 magnums in the running there. There's lots of tubular-fed 22 magnums out there, and that's a good thing. Threaded barrel, a second pistol grip, barrel shroud, the capacity to accept detachable magazines at some location outside of the pistol grip, semi-automatic version of an automatic firearm, a semi-automatic pistol with a fixed magazine with the capacity to accept more than 10 rounds. Same thing with a couple of exceptions with a semi-automatic shotgun. On and on and on, and they have named, oh my goodness, they've named lots of guns. So if this passes, of course, our first inclination here is that if this passes, the poop is going to hit the fan. No question about it. Well, it didn't happen in 1994. It didn't happen in 1968. It didn't happen in 1934. It's not going to happen this time. I will readily admit that a lot of people are sitting on pins and needles right now, either hoping or expecting something to happen. And it might. I'm not saying that it's absolutely 100% impossible, but I'm saying it's 100% damn sure unlikely. People are still too comfortable. I've said this before on the show, what's going to happen when the ATM cards quit working, when your EBT cards quit working, when you can't afford gas to get to work, you can't put food in your freezer, then the poop's going to hit the fan. But right now, no matter what it costs, people are still comfortable. Starbucks is still open. Dances with the Stars is still on. The Super Bowl is coming up. And people are, it's life as usual for 99% of the population. So until that changes, nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to happen. But if they're in conjunction with this, it probably wouldn't take a whole lot to set it off, in addition to this House Bill 282. I don't know, but I'm not liking it. I tell you what I would like to do, though. I'd like to take a little break, and we'll come back.
I'll be back.
The Liberty Lounge, brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs.
There the stars twinkle down a way that somewhere in a distant land so many miles away.
Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog by the banks of a stream said one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man, and I can't seem to stop. I love to give the girls a ride.
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge.
Do you want to lose your mind? Walk right in, step right down. Baby, let your hair.
Stand with you. Cowboy stand. No matter how it ends.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Down the mountain, roll out on the plain.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
Well, I'm going to try this one time. Remember I told you at the beginning of the show we had some problems here with Shoutcast, and I'm not sure what it is. It still says that I am not streaming and not doing anything. So I don't know what's happening. If you're not getting sound, I might as well just call it a day. Okay, Tebow says it came back. So, all right. Thanks, guys. I don't know what's going on for my Shoutcast setting, my little doohickey here that tells me everything's running good, all the little colored things bouncing up and down and everything. But it still said, now it's on. After all this time, it just came on. So if it drops in the middle of everything, well, it just drops in the middle of everything. So we'll see what happens. All right, let's go back. There's another thing I hear I want to probably spend quite a bit of, probably most of a show on. Maybe we'll do that Monday. Important stuff. So I think what we'll do is move over here to this other one right quick. And there's, it's one of those shootouts here. Now this was with police. This wasn't with civilians like we were talking about a while ago. But a couple of people got involved with the shooting. Got involved with the Houston police in a shooting. And, apparently, he said, the Houston police have identified the suspects killed in Monday's shootout. That was just last Monday, day before yesterday. It wounded multiple officers. Harris County clerk records show that the married couple lived at the home where the shootout occurred for at least 20 years. I don't know. People are going crazy now. You've got a home. It's in your name. You're listed as the homeowner. And you decide to go and do something like this. And this is the thing, WMD Doc, I saw what you put on the chat room there. And the things are a little bit different now. And people are pushed just about as far as they're going to go. I still think it's unlikely, but I will admit that it's not impossible. This assault weapons ban may push some over the edge. But I guarantee you now, you know, we've talked about this numerous times as far as not complying. And matter of fact, we talked about it just when? Monday? About the girl that contacted me and said, hey, what do I do? You know, do I bury my guns? Do I take them to another town? And I've said, I don't know how many times, that if it's time to bury them, it's time to use them. But that being said, I still think that it's prudent to put away a couple or some of your guns. You know, maybe keep a handgun and a rifle and a shotgun out and put everything else away. I don't know. Not only because you don't want them confiscated, but because maybe the house is going to burn down. If you've got them in a fireproof safe, maybe that's not a concern. But I still think that if something happens, it would be nice to just run out, you know, 100 yards from the house and dig up a box that's got some food and clothes and weapons and stuff just in case. I've always had that. I never got around to doing it here yet, but when I was in New Mexico, it was 50 yards away. And it had nothing to do with confiscation. It had everything to do with being prepared. If the house burned down in the middle of the night and we had to dash out the house and nothing but our underwear, we could dig these four boxes up and there's clothing, food, weapons, you know, everything we need in four boxes. So anyway, I'm getting off on a tangent so easy. But anyway, they investigated this, dug into both their backgrounds and found that the woman was in court 10 years ago over a theft by check, which is a misdemeanor. She paid the $145 she owed, and that was the end of it. and the other guy apparently had no criminal record. So these people, for whatever reason, just fell off the deep end and went to blazing away here at the cops. So if we look at it from that light, WMD Doc, there is a stronger possibility because people have been pushed just about to their limit. But I thought they were pushed to their limit before. They're pushed to their limit every couple of years. And I just can't see this as being any different. I was flabbergasted. I was amazed. I was dumbstruck that the 1994 assault weapons ban happened and nothing else happened. Nobody said anything. They sat around on Facebook and chat rooms and griped about it, but that was the extent of it. And I just can't really believe that it's going to be that much different now. I really don't. It's going to tick a lot of people off. There'll be a lot of empty threats. There'll be a lot of stuff going on Facebook and everywhere, and there'll be some arrests over it. But will the poop hit the fan? I seriously doubt it. But I guess we can always hope. Now, you know, that's something that you can't really say and mean it. Nobody wants the poop to hit the fan, but everybody wants everything to change. You know, some of us would like to see it happen before we get too old to participate. Some of us would like to see it happen because we don't want our kids to have to be involved in it. Well, the kids are going to be involved in it. If they're alive at this point, they're going to be involved. But and what I don't see is the benefit of all these people spending their, I get the sentiment. I really do. I'm so for these people that want to go down and go to these rallies and protests and all that stuff, these Second Amendment things. Yeah, I get it. You know, it makes you feel good. There's a few people out there that, you know, like-minded. But what have you really accomplished in the long run? You want me to tell you? Absolutely nothing. When you go to a courthouse and go into, when you go to the state capitol and go into the, go up on the floor and voice your concerns, you've got a little better chance of something happening. When you have a rally on the courthouse lawn on a Saturday and you get your prerequisite, your requisite permits and all that stuff, what have you done? Absolutely nothing. I would not, in my wildest dreams, would I dream of discouraging you from doing it. But if you think it's going to help anything, especially on a weekend, you need to do it when the courthouse is open. You need to have it on the lawn of courthouses and Capitol buildings and municipal courts and maybe even, you know, community centers, police departments. When they're open and people are there. Otherwise, nobody's going to see it except the ones that are there supporting you anyway. Let me see. Somebody's saying there's still no audio. Everything's bouncing and going here. My internet's on, so I think we have shoutcast problems. And I'm sorry about that. WMD Doc says he's got it back there. WMD Doc, if you look down in the lower left-hand corner of your screen down there, if you're on a laptop or something, there's a little tiny speaker right by that envelope. Click on that speaker and that little pop will go away every time somebody posts. That's annoying as hell. And you can do it on your phone too, but I don't remember where the thing is. But anyway, click that little speaker and that little annoying little pop will stop. All right. We're going to talk next week. I'm probably going to cut the show a little bit short here. But we're going to spend some time on, I'm going to try to, depending on how much stuff happens over the weekend, it'll either be Monday or Wednesday. We're going to spend some time on concealed carry active shooters, whether you should engage, liability, and stuff like that. It's I think it's critical right now. I think it's absolutely critical. So Monday or Wednesday, count on that. I can't tell you which day yet because I don't know what's going to happen between now and Monday. We may have our hands full with new stuff anyway. So anyway, I think I'm sorry everybody's having so much trouble. I think I'm going to cut this show short because it keeps bouncing in and out, and I'm seeing this happening in my shoutcast, in my little console, whatever you call it, up here, dashboard thing. So I know that gets annoying. So I think we'll cut it short and get ready for Liberty Lounge on Friday. And WMD Doc, I'm glad you found the key there. So I think I'm going to bounce on out of here, and I've got some very important stuff. It's going to take a lot longer than what we've got time left for here today. And I just had some other stuff. You know me, get off on stuff that doesn't have anything to do with anything, but that's just the way it is sometimes. So anyway, I'm going to scoot, and we will see you guys on, what is today? Yeah, see you Wednesday or Friday for Liberty Lounge. Good night.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.